Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and my guest, Dr. Neil Barnard, was called away, so he's not able to make his interview this afternoon. So this hour is going to be an open mic hour. So at any time during this hour today, you will be able to call in and chat with me directly if you so desire. Here is the toll-free telephone number to call in to at any time during the hour today, since my guest was not able to make the show. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Again, this is for the entire hour. You'll be able to call in at any time. I wanted to share some thoughts with you at the beginning of the hour. So frequently, life presents us with challenges, and we just wonder if it's worth fighting the fight to be able to go after our dreams. Well, I wanted to share a story with you about a young boy. His name was Fritz. When he was growing up, he wanted nothing more than to just play the violin. He just thought my violin music was just absolutely the best. His parents were very supportive of him, and they paid for all the lessons he wanted. They would be at all of his performances. However, Fritz didn't put his heart into everything. He loved it, but it just was missing something, and he wasn't making as much progress as they had hoped that he would. So they found, after a few years, even though the parents were very supportive of him, he eventually quit playing the violin. Well, how many of us have kids that they'll start out with one thing and then they get distracted and go into something else? Well, Fritz grew up, as all kids normally do, went through college, and as a young adult, decided he wanted to study medicine. Well, he goes to medical school and finds, after a period of time, that medicine really isn't his thing. And then he decided he would join the military, and he did that, but he never got promoted. He was always in the rank of private, so that didn't make him feel too good, and he left the service. And he said, okay, let me try something else. And so he tried a number of different areas of work and enterprise. And he found none of them, absolutely none of them, were doing anything for him. He could do the work, that wasn't the issue, but he was missing something. What it was missing was a sense of passion, was the awareness of joy. Well, when he sat down one day and was really reflecting on all of his various experiences, he said to himself, you know, when I was happiest was when I was playing the violin. And he really thought about this. He had absolutely thoroughly enjoyed being involved with music. So what did he do? He looked up his old violin instructor, went back to the violin instructor after many years of not even picking up a violin, saying, I want to play the violin. I really want to be the best I can be. Well, the teacher was fascinated with this. Who wouldn't be after so many years of not having any contact with someone and then having a former student walk in and say, I want to continue my lessons? How would you respond? This was her response to him. She said, I'll take you back as a student, but on one condition only. You must acquire the irreplaceable quality that is necessary for you to become a great violinist. You must exhibit undefeatable determination. Two powerful words, undefeatable determination. Well, the violinist's name was Fritz Kressler, and he did exactly that. He stuck with the music, he stuck with the lessons, and it was the first time he had really persevered in anything he had ever tried. And eventually, he played at Carnegie Hall, filling it with the music of the violin that he loved so very much. Undefeatable determination. That is really what we've got to have if we're going to make our way in life with a sense of accomplishment. You see, it's an inside job. There's no shortcuts. And sometimes we have to explore, like Fritz did. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong with the exploration. But when we come to that point of awareness of what we really, really love, what we really, really feel in our very soul that is meaningful to us, then we must be dedicated enough to stick with it. And it's up to us to do it, the individual. Nobody can do it for you. No one's going to be able to work with your head, with your emotions, other than you. So if you're facing challenges right now, and you are looking at this environment of dramatic change that we're going through, and you're wondering, what am I supposed to do? Why not dig deep down inside yourself, like Fritz did, and ask, what is it that has brought you joy? What is it that, when you think about it, always makes you smile or gives you that sense of fulfillment? Was it speaking up on a stage? Was it fixing a doll cake for a child's birthday? What is it? What is it? And when you find what that is that's inside of you, and then you go for it. But you've got to be willing to do the work. And you know, I heard someone in a conversation, this was just a few days ago, where they made a comment that in their observation, anyone that was successful had to put in 10,000 hours of practice, whatever it was, whether they were a mechanic, an opera singer. It didn't make any difference what they did. If they had put in that amount of time, 10,000 hours is a lot of hours, they were going to be superior at whatever they did. Few were going to be able to beat them, because it is rare that anyone will put that much time and effort into developing any skill. It shouldn't be that way, but all too frequently it is. So when you are looking at yourself, don't be afraid to question, to examine, to seek out what really brings you joy. And that when you think of leaving a footprint in life, you might want to be like Fritz and play the violin. But it might be something entirely different for you. Your violin could be something else that is going to be just as significant and making an effect in life in a very special way. This is Donna Sebo. Today is going to be an open mic day. My guest was not able to make it, Dr. Barnard, and telephone lines are going to be open through the entire hour. So if you would like to interact with me today, pick up the telephone and give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, little by little, I've been getting through the massive amount of emails that I had received while I was on a business trip this past weekend, and it's amazing how those things add up, isn't it? It's just incredible. And some of the material I've gotten from those of you that are listeners, I want to say thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I thought I'd share with you some of this trivia that was sent to me. This month of September, we do have some holidays, but I had no idea that we have a slew of holidays that have been created on a national level that I don't know how many other people are even aware of them, but let me give you a few of them. It seems to start around the 20th of September. It's National Punch Day. Don't ask me who came up with these. I have no idea. September 20th is National Punch Day, and I don't know if that's punching somebody's lights out or punch like you drink it. It's hard to say. September 21st is World Gratitude Day and International Banana Festival. Nice compliment. World Gratitude Day and International Banana Festival. September 22nd is Hobbit Day and Dear Diary Day. Hobbit Day and Dear Diary Day. September 23rd is Checkers Day and Dogs in Politics Day. Now, I know you could really have a good time with that one. But anyway, let's go on to the 24th is the festival. These are holidays, bizarre ones, if one could give a word to it. Festival of Latest Novelties. Now, I have no idea where this is being held, but that's on the 24th of September. The 25th is National Comic Book Day. National Comic Book Day. The 26th is National Good Neighbor Day and National Pancake Day. I didn't know pancakes had a national day. Well, apparently they do. On the 27th of September is Crush a Can Day. And on September 28th is Ask a Stupid Question Day. Gee, I didn't know we had to declare a holiday for that one. September 29th is Poisoned Blackberry Days. Okay, I haven't a clue where that one came from. And the last one, it applies to anyone that might be interested in celebrating on September the 30th, a National Mud Pack Day. People must really have a hard time figuring out what to do with their time when they come up with these things. Also, up in Palmer, Alaska, if you like cabbage, you would have liked this one, 125.9 pounds. Right now it's the world record. There might be another one coming up. But officials with the Alaska State Fair said a giant green cabbage weighed in at the event. It set a Guinness World Record at 125.9 pounds. Dean Phipps, who is the marketing director for the fair, said a Wasilla resident, Steve Hubachek's cabbage, which has, now try to get a visual on this, 5-foot cabbage leaves and measures about 21 inches across the head of the cabbage. It beat the previous cabbage weight record of 124 pounds, and that was set in Wales in 1989. Now, in the Anchorage Daily News, they reported that Mr. Phipps said he was there when they put it on the scale, and when they put it on, everybody took a couple of steps back and went like, oh, my goodness. And there are various verbal expressions of that, and then they started getting so excited. The fair official said the record may last only until the next giant cabbage weigh-off, which is scheduled for this coming Friday, because Hubachek says he's got a cabbage at home larger than the one that won the world record. You know, up in Alaska, there's a phenomenon because they have 24 hours, almost 24 hours of daylight. And in the Anchorage Wasilla area, it is just amazing. You'll walk through the downtown area of Anchorage, and they have these beautiful flowers and cabbages growing and all kinds of things. And they are larger than what you would expect because there is so much sunlight. Well, the vegetables up there, because they have a very, very short season, it's less than 3 months, depending on where you are, with that 24 hours of daylight, everything just really grows. But 125.9 pounds? My goodness, I wonder what they're going to do with that large cabbage. It's exciting, though, to win a world record. So anyway, I want to thank Lon for sending that to me via email. And if you decide you have a story you'd like to share with me, then do send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. I think it's always fun to find out about oddities like that. But again, up in Alaska, things grow so quickly and so rapidly. I mean, the gardens up there are just absolutely gorgeous because Alaskans dearly, dearly love their gardens. And so they really take care of them. And this summer, I guess, was a good summer for growing things. And so they are just doing absolutely fabulously. Donna Sebo here. We have an open mic hour. My guest was not able to make the program today. So you can call in at any time during the show. And you can call me on 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just sit back, relax. Oh, of course, I do like to know where you're calling in from. After that, just know I'll give you whatever I perceive, and then you're welcome when I'm finished to ask me a question about anything that you like. If you are a person that feels like you lose things rather easily, how about your keys? Have you ever gone through, where did I put my keys? I have occasionally. I think we all do. Well, I learned that I tried to put my keys in the same place every time. But every once in a while, you can get distracted. If you really want to track down an item like your keys, a purse, a remote, or an iPod, there is a new device that's called a wireless remote locator. All you have to do now is press a button on this special remote, and it'll set off an alarm that will send you straight to wherever the lost item is. Now, how it works is you simply clip a receiver tag to the item, and then the next time the item goes missing, press the button on the remote, and the tag will sound a loud alarm. Now, you can go to this Find One, Find All finder, and there's a couple of places you can go to. Amazon.com has something on their site, but also FindOneFindAll.com is where you could go to check that out. And I think that's not such a bad thing, especially if you have a bunch of kids or if you have someone that's always moving your stuff and you want to be sure you know where it is. That's not a bad idea. That's a good thing to do. Also, if you lose files on your computer, holy Moses, I think that is one of the most miserable experiences you could ever go through. Your computer dies on you. How are you going to get those lost files? Well, there is a free software system that you can utilize. You never have to lose an important document again. All you need is this software. For Windows, you can try the free programs of Undelete+.com. These are free. Undelete+.com, Recuva.com, and that's spelled Recuva.com, or PC Inspector. And you can find out about that. And if you have a Mac, you can try Stellar Phoenix Macintosh Data Recovery. You can go to their website, MacintoshData-Recovery.com, which is the first time you use it, and then there's a $99 charge to buy it. Or you can go to Data Rescue 2, and that has a cost of $99 to it. But those can be used for as long as you might have your computer. Now, this is important information. Even though you delete files on your computer, they're never actually erased from your computer, and these programs that I've shared with you can help make them visible to you once again. And this is information shared by Ron White. He's very much into computers, but retrieving lost files is so very important. Now, I think if they're burned, you're not going to get them back. But backup systems, let's face it, we're dealing with equipment, and things like this can go awry. So it's nice to know that there are those software programs that you can utilize. And that brings me full circle to something that I saw on television. If you have an old computer and it's been sitting in your garage and you're thinking of donating it, make sure you take the hardware out of it and smash it. Because just as this gentleman Ron said, information can be retrieved off of it. And I know I mentioned this on another show, but it bears repeating. I watched a program on television where in Africa, hundreds of thousands of old computers are sent over there for recycle purposes. This is a big business. There are people in Africa that got a hold of security information for the United States government because they went in and they said, you can retrieve anything off of computers. So they have access to anything that you might have used. If you had ordered something on the Internet, if you put a Social Security number in, they have all of that information. It's not erased. And when it was checked on, when these people that were doing this investigation on recycling of computers, when they checked on it and they went back to the Security Department of the United States, they said, we had thought all of this was erased. It isn't. The only way is to smash the material, and of course, you know, I don't know if you could burn it or what you could do, because it's highly toxic, but it's just something you need to be aware of. They said the only way that you can prevent anybody from retrieving information off of the internal workings of the computer is to actually smash those internal partitions. So you need to be aware of that. It is very, very significant. As remember, nothing is truly ever erased on a computer. And if you want to find a family or friends really quickly, there is something called Google Latitude. I didn't know about this. Did you? This is a free service that pinpoints where someone is using his or her cell phone. Oh, yes. Yes, it's real. Now, you can watch the tutorial on YouTube, and you can sign in to Latitude. It's google.com/latitude from your mobile phone and send a text inviting friends to join. Now, once they do, your devices will be able to track each other's movements. If you don't have a web-enabled cell phone, no problem. You can track others on your computer through iGoogle.com. I wonder if that would be considered invasion of privacy. I don't know, but if you link up to it, you just know that you can be traced. They're going to know where you are. Anyway, I just thought I'd share those little bits of trivia with you. Technology is wonderful, but sometimes you wonder, how much are we really going to need of this at a time? It's just amazing. Oh, quick like a bunny. If you're looking for a missing pet, they find people who have lost pets often post information on Craigslist, craigslist.com, lost and found. This is very good information. And they've often got responses from people. And if you can't find birth, marriage, or divorce records, you can get copies from the Bureau of Vital Statistics by logging on to cdc.gov/NCHS/W2W.htm. Or you can go to your local courthouse, of course, you can do that. And if you've lost your iTunes library in a computer crash, hey, you can find it. All you have to do is visit apple.com/support/iTunes/store/browser, and then log into your account, click Purchase Missing, and then use the email form that they have to see if they'll restore your media library. The company reviews each request and sometimes will restore the lost libraries for free. Who knew? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. We have an open mic hour today. My guest, Dr. Barnard, was not able to make it. So you are going to be able to chat with me at any time during this hour, and the number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, don't forget, those of you who are in the state of Washington, I'm going to be appearing on Saturday, September 26th at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club Expo. This is a semi-annual event that's absolutely wonderful. If you love to talk about the paranormal, if you're curious, this event has been going on for years and years and years. So I invite you to come join us. There's no fee to come in. It's from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening. It's being held at Kent Commons, 525 4th Avenue North in Kent, Washington. Zip is 98042 if you need to go to MapQuest. And if you want more information on this, go to their website, www.bepcweb.org. That's Boy Edward Paul Charles Webb. org, and you'll have all of the fine details. I'm going to be speaking on that Saturday. Also, I will be in a booth, and I will be giving many consultations, no appointment necessary, but also I will have a whole slew of books that's going to be coming out of my library. And this is a wonderful event. I find there's a lot of readers at this particular event, so I just like to bring those things that I'm purging out of my library so that I can make room for other items that are coming in. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. The number is 888-815-9756. This is Donna. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Raynell. I'm calling from Cambria, California.
From where in California?
Cambria.
Cambria. Where is that?
It's way up around San Luis Obispo, just south of Monterey.
Oh,
beautiful little coastal
country.
Town.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. I've never heard of it. That's really
gorgeous. I'm here for a few days getaway.
Aren't you the lucky person? That is a beautiful area. I know a little bit about the area, but not a whole bunch. Okay, Ray, now let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am observing is a sinking feeling in my stomach. And when I'm getting this sensation physically, I feel as if there has been a series of disappointments, and you haven't quite known what to do with them. So you have sort of just kept them right in the solar plexus area. And every once in a while, when you start reflecting on them, there's this strange sensation that I'm getting. And I would say you need to bring these disappointments out. You need to be able to talk about them. You need to be able to write about them. And writing, I think, actually would be the best way to go, because the talking just doesn't seem to do anything. There's something you're needing to resolve. And I think part of the resolution is letting go of the disappointments and not hanging on to them, because it looks to me like you are sweeping your path clean for a new opportunity of change. And you're doing a very thorough job, and I want to say keep up the good work. You're right on target, and you're going to find that within 6 months, it will be the year 2010, you're going to be making some choices that will enable you to step up into an environment that is going to be much more satisfying for you. You're going to work quite hard, and this is nothing new, but I do think this is important for you to be able to get rid of this sinking feeling in the stomach that keeps affecting you. It's sort of staying there. It's like it's stuck, and I want to take like a fireman's hose and wash it out and get rid of it and just say you don't need to carry it anymore. It's not necessary. Take what you need and just evacuate the rest. Personal relationships are a little bit on the up and down patterning, but that's par for the course. That's not unusual. This is what is necessary for you to be able to really have clarity about your life, about your associations. And I think that you're doing a good job. It just takes a little bit of time, so be patient with yourself. What would you like to ask me, Renee?
Well, Donna, I have currently a business that I'm thinking of moving the location, or at least taking a respite for a brief period while I look around for a new location. Wondering what you think about that.
Are you thinking of staying in California, or did you want to move into another state?
I would be staying in California.
All right. If you're staying in California, you need to think this through very carefully. Where is the business right now, and what kind of business is it?
In Ventura. I'm a healer.
All right. If you're wanting to shift into another area, you really need to do your homework. You have, at this time, established an environment where you are. So you need to ask yourself what it is that is making you feel like you need to shift into another environment. And if you are honest with yourself, I think you really want to go through an expansion. If you chose to take a sabbatical for a while by maybe just dealing with people occasionally, I would say look at doing the sabbatical as an educational period. When I'm saying that, I mean sign up for some of those courses or classes that you have really wanted to be involved with. It's like you're absorbing an expertise of new modalities of being able to do your work, and you're expanding your communication with other people. So I think you are on the right track. I don't know that I would do it right away, though. I think you have to think this through very, very carefully. So if you do take a sabbatical, let's say it's for you, and you go into
It was just for a very brief period, Donna, and I think you nailed it. It's me giving thought to how to expand.
Right. So we've got to go on a break in just a moment.
Okay.
I've got some other thoughts in my head. So if you'll stay on the line, then we'll come back to you, okay?
All right. Okay.
All right. This is Donna Sebo. And if for those of you listening, if you'd like to call in also, this is an open mic hour. 888-815-9756 is the worldwide toll-free number if you'd like to chat. We're going to be coming back to Raynell in just a moment, so don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number. Let's go back to Raynell. Raynell, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. All right, the one thing that I was looking at relative to this is not just the desire for expansion of your own levels of expertise, but I do think that when you're ready to make the move, you really have to consider the economics of the move. And you may be better off staying in your environment for a while so that you have a chance to go through this additional learning curve that you want to go through and do your homework and your research regarding the environments that you would like to live in. Do you want to have cooler temperatures? Are you wanting to go further north? You need to ask yourself, what are the economics? Because your costs are going to have to be considered. And if you have a clientele already in Ventura, you need to ask yourself, are you going to want to keep in touch with that clientele? Or are you going to want to start all over from scratch? And if you do want to keep in touch with that clientele, then how are you going to go about doing that? So you've got a lot of things to think about here so that when you make your shift that you work with it in the best way possible. Am I making sense?
Yes, indeed.
Good.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Very, a lot of clarity for me. I appreciate it, Donna.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat, the telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Do you believe that animals can communicate? I do. I think that's just a given. Having been a dog owner for so many years, and every single dog we've ever had their own way of communicating with us during the years, researchers finally are catching up. Yep, there's always somebody out there wanting to research something, and I'm always astonished at how people have thought animals were dumb. I still hear statements like this from people, and I just shake my head, and I just figure their educational level and their awareness level is sadly lacking. Well, here's some information that Michael Rosenwald came up with. He said, scrub jays can trick you. Monkeys kick themselves for mistakes in judgment, and one parrot that they know of, at least, figured out something close to the mathematical concept of zero. Sound a little strange? Shouldn't be. Animals, can they be devoted? Absolutely. There are so many stories that we've all heard about animals that have done phenomenal things for their owners, but people just figured, again, dumb animals, so just lucky, it was a quirk, there's no real intelligence there. I've got news for anybody that might have that attitude, and I know most of you would not have that attitude. Just in the last 10 years, they have found with various species of creatures abilities that were thought to exist only in humans. Think of the gorillas, that they have taught sign language, that communicate quite well, thank you very much. And it was all to a woman saying, I believe that this can be done, and she went out and she proved it. These are not dumb animals. Scrub jays. Cambridge University professor Nikki Clayton found that these birds are extremely devious, and they are very, very clever, and they will figure out where they've hidden foods a long, long time ago. And they also know whether anybody has noticed what they've done, or even another bird. He observed that if another bird was watching them, they'd wait until the bird was gone, and then they would move the food. So they didn't want anybody to take anything from what they had acquired. Now, what's even more fascinating to the researchers, not all jays protected their food that way. Only those that had previously raided other birds' stores. He said, it seems to be it takes a thief to know a thief. That sort of has a human ring to it, doesn't it? Another experiment recently, they found that monkeys experience regret when they make the wrong choice and miss out on a treat. They would do brain scans on the monkeys, suggesting that the animals were having coulda, woulda, shoulda thoughts. Sounds sort of human, doesn't it? And Michael Platt, who was involved in this research, he said, I knew monkeys were intelligent, but I didn't think they were that smart. And he is a neurobiologist, and he's the one that led the study. But the one that really has upset the apple cart for all kinds of researchers is an African gray parrot by the name of Alex. Now, a 30-year research project has been done with him to date. The scientist involved was Irene Pepperberg, and Alex absolutely shattered the myth that parrots are simple mimics. He was tested all the time, and when he'd get bored with the testing that Irene was doing with him, he'd say, want to go back, which meant he wanted to go back to his cage. He was tired of it. If the request seemed to annoy her, she'd get irritated with him. He'd then say sorry. And this parrot would toy with her relentlessly, and one afternoon, he showed a graph of something that, to the best of our knowledge, only humans and a few apes have been known to understand, and that's the notion of zero. And this is what Irene Pepperberg did. She had a tray of different colored bulbs. She wanted Alex to count each group. And they had a particular shorthand that had been developed, and she'd say, what color 6, what color 2? Well, Alex got so bored with the silly exercises, he threw the balls on the floor. Finally, he said 5, and then repeated 5, 5. There wasn't 5 of anything on the tray, so Irene asked, okay, smarty, what color 5? He said, none. Not only had the bird figured out an abstract mathematical concept, he had manipulated Irene Pepperberg into asking the question so he could prove it. She said, I nearly dropped the tray. Animals communicate. They are intelligent. They are sensitive. They know pain. They are aware of so much more than we are aware of. My little Scotties, I'm telling you, they have an awareness of people and situations and environments. It's just a given. And by golly, if they don't like somebody, I know something's very, very wrong with that person. I've had a Scotty, his name, we used to call him Mr. Smoke. He was an old man from the time that he was a puppy, but he had this sense about people. And in his entire life, which was almost 13 years with us, he only disliked three people. And there was no question about him disliking them. With each and every one of those three individuals, there was a major character flaw, big time character flaw. And this little Scotty let me know and let my husband know at different times that it was not appropriate. And he especially was more, I would say, vocal with me or would demonstrate certain behaviors. And it is something you never forget when you have that kind of a communication capacity with an animal. Do I believe in animal communicators? Absolutely. Do I believe that we can communicate with life on multiple levels? Yes, I do. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and I never, never laugh at it. But I thought I would share that with you about the African gray and the other critters, because I think it's important to know that we share this planet with a lot of forms of life that have an intelligence that we just don't really pay attention to. And they have that intelligence for the purpose of surviving. Just because they don't have the muscles or the capacities to speak as we do doesn't mean they don't think and doesn't mean that they may not know. So I think we're coming into an era where we're realizing that we need to pay attention to our environment. And when we do, if we are wise and we're good caretakers, Mother Nature, with all of her creatures, is going to bless us a millionfold on so many different levels, whether it's insect or whatever. It all has intelligence on one level or another. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Again, 888-815-9756. And let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. Well, here in the Pacific Northwest, our weather is changing. I mean, this morning it was cool and chilly, and then it went up to 77, and now we've got a storm front that's starting to come in. It's really an interesting kaleidoscope of shifts and changes. Well, it's fall in the Pacific Northwest, and when it comes to fall, it's a good time to start being aware that within a very few weeks, we are going to find the temps being consistently cooler, and we need to start preparing for the cold winter months. Now, even though winter may not be around for a little bit of time, why not take the time to figure out what you need to do to get your house ready for winter? Now, maybe you live in a part of the country where it's not a big deal to you, but here in the Pacific Northwest, it is. You need to really think about the insulation in your home, how if you've got leaks for air. So here are some tips that were brought to my attention, and it can help. These little fixes can cut energy usage by up to 40%. Would you ever imagine that electrical outlets could be a leak? Well, I hadn't considered it, and all you have to do to check is you need to look at all exterior wall outlets by unscrewing the plates and peeking underneath. If there's no insulation, they are likely letting cold air into your home or your building. So all you have to do to assure that that doesn't happen, go to your local hardware store and pick up foam insulation, especially made for outlets. Just cut it to the size, insert it in the outlet, just put the cover back on. It's that quick and that simple. Another leak, a big one, can be windows. If you have older windows, pull back any curtains or blinds and then hold a candle that has been lit near the window frame. And if there's a flicker with the frame, it's a sign of a draft. And all you have to do is caulk your leaks. There's no need to be an expert handyman, or you don't need to buy a new tool. Just use rope caulk if you want. You can buy it in the hardware store. Comes in cords, and all you need to do is unroll it and press it into place around the edges of your windows. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you how to take care of the doors, and then I'll have some other good things to share with you, or I'll even talk with you if you like. 888-815-9756. Give me a call if you like. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break for a moment. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Let me give you this last tip because it's something that I know we've experienced in our home. We are talking about preparing for winter. And I know it may seem a little silly, but as I said, being up here in the Pacific Northwest, the weather shifts and changes. And pretty soon, we're going to have to turn the furnace on because the temperatures are starting to drop, and they're going to get more like that. If we don't have an Indian summer, it'll be sooner rather than later. But if we're lucky, we'll have an Indian summer, so we won't have to turn on the furnace real soon. But your doors. If you want to know if you've got a door that maybe because of the earth moving or like here, we've had earthquakes through the years, and sometimes your frame causes your door to hang a little differently, you need to wait until nighttime and shut off your interior lights and then go outside and have, if you have a friend, have someone inside shine a flashlight around the door frame. If you're seeing light, if your friend is shining the flashlight and you see certain places where you know that there is a gap and cold air can come in through that, that means you can take care of that leak. And you can create what they call your own draft dodgers. Take an old pair of socks and fill them with uncooked rice and tie them at the open end with some string, and all you have to do is rest them against the bottom of the door if the leak is there. If you have a wider entrance or a sliding door, you can cut off a leg from an old pair of pants and stuff with the remaining fabric and tie both ends shut. And for the sides, you can buy some inexpensive foam tape weather stripping, and all you do is apply the adhesive backing to the inside of the door jamb, and your leak is stopped. Yep, just in seconds. So inexpensive suggestions can help you save the energy that if you're in a part of the country where it gets real, real cold, those tips, I think, can make a difference and cut your costs down. And I know some houses, some people have older windows in their homes. And those little tips that I shared with you, very inexpensive, and it can save you quite a bit, just that little bit. Also, I wanted to say that I was sent a wonderful, wonderful dog story. And I don't know that I'm going to share today, but you've sent me so many wonderful stories, so many of you. And I want to thank those of you who are doing that because it really is very, very nice. But this dog story that I received is, it's a real tearjerker, and I think I'm going to hold it off. I think I'm going to save it for another day. And instead, I'm going to be sharing a recipe with you. If you like jambalaya, Creole food, I've got a real simple recipe that you can fix on top of the stove that is easy and tasty. Robin Miller, who has her own television show, she's called the Quick Fix Queen. This is one of her recipes. And dependent on your family or your friends that you'd like to fix this for, this is something that is great to fix. Actually, the next day it's going to taste even better. It's one of those dishes that when it sets overnight, the flavors mellow and just become even, like I said, even better. So here are the ingredients. Get out a pad of paper and a pen, and we'll go through this because it's real simple, real easy, yet it is very flavorful. And you can adjust some of the seasonings to whatever you like. Now, you're going to need a cup of quick-cooking brown or white rice. Now, if you're a person that always has rice as part of your diet, then just, you know, put some aside for this recipe. But it's no big deal. You can have the quick-cooking brown or white rice if you like. You're going to need two teaspoons of olive oil, 2 teaspoons of olive oil, 1/2 cup of chopped onion, onion of your choice, 1/2 cup of chopped onion, 1 large green pepper, you seed it and then you chop the pepper. You need 2 cloves of garlic, finely minced. You need 1/4 cup drained, diced, pickled jalapenos. 1/4 cup drained, diced, pickled jalapenos. You need 1/2 pound of boneless, skinless chicken breast. You cut them into chunks about 1 inch in size. 1/2 pound of boneless, skinless chicken breast cut into 1 inch chunks. You need 1 teaspoon of Cajun or Creole seasoning, whatever is your favorite. Maybe you've got a family favorite, so whatever it is that you do, just have 1 teaspoon's worth. You need 1 teaspoon of dried oregano. And then you need 1/2 pound of chorizo or kielbasa sausage or whatever your favorite sausage is. You need 1/2 pound of it. You cut it into 1 inch thick rounds. You need 1/2 pound of medium shrimp, peeled and deveined. 1/2 pound of medium shrimp, peeled and deveined. You need 1 28-ounce can of diced tomatoes. That's 1 can, 28 ounces of diced tomatoes. 2 bay leaves and 1/4 cup of chopped fresh parsley and, of course, salt and pepper. Now, this is how easy this recipe is. And the smell is just going to be heavenly. Now, your rice, you just cook it according to the package directions. And you heat your oil in a large saucepan or a Dutch oven. And you need to have something, I think a Dutch oven actually is better because it's deep and you can stir, and unless you've got, like I have, a super huge saucepan that's like about 3.5 inches deep that goes on top of the stove. If you have something like that, then that's what you fix it in. So a Dutch oven is actually, I think, best for this. You put your Dutch oven over medium heat, and of course you have that 2 teaspoons of olive oil in there. You then add your onion, your green pepper, your garlic, and your jalapenos, and you cook them, just stirring until they're soft. It's going to take about 3 minutes. Then put in the chicken, and you cook the chicken until it's browned on all sides. That'll take another 5 minutes. At that point, after the chicken is cooked, then you add your Cajun seasoning and your oregano, and you stir to coat everything with the seasonings. You add your sausage and your shrimp, and you cook again, stirring about 2 minutes. Then add the can of diced tomatoes and the bay leaves. And you just mix it all together. You bring it to a simmer, and you cook it until the chicken and shrimp are cooked through. It takes all of about 3 minutes. Take out the bay leaves, and then stir in your rice and your parsley, and you season it to taste with salt and pepper. If you like stronger seasoning, then add some more of the Cajun or the Creole seasoning, whatever you prefer. Salt and pepper, again, to taste. I like to sort of leave the salt and pepper alone, just adding a tiny bit of salt and a little bit of pepper, because pepper intensifies too as you are stirring this. But if you wanted to fix this for company, if you were going to have a potluck and you really wanted to have something different, this is going to be great. And it will be so satisfying to people. If you did not want to have the starch, if you wanted to keep the rice out, you could do that if you wanted. But that's one of the ingredients in a good jambalaya. So that is your choice too, and you could serve it with crispy, hot, baked bread, like a good sourdough would be absolutely wonderful. This and with this and a green salad, it really will be something that'll make the taste buds, if you enjoy a spicy dish, happy. And if you don't like it real spicy, then diminish the spice, but a little bit goes a long way. This is Donna Sebo. We're running out of time here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, Mystery Master Tom Sawyer is going to be my guest. Don't miss it. Great guy. You're the master of your fate, as I said. You're the captain of your soul. Recognize that and be free. You belong to the universe, yes, but you also belong to yourself. Live life to the fullest. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.